Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Great call by Joe. Well executed. The timing on that, you know, I think they brought pressure on that play. And again, preparation by Joe and the offensive staff and the players executed.
Welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Let's right away get to our Barnes Firm injury report. It's brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. And obviously, all eyes on Terrell Bernard, what his status is, his situation is. Not really sure, you know, how long he'll be out, but that kind of injury can keep you out really long term. And if the Bills are going to be without Terrell Bernard for the next couple of months, it's going to be really, really tough to deal with. Had a caller a little while ago bring it up about Terrell Bernard and say about... Who was he talking about? Bale Inspector, and not being able to fit in, not being able to, you know, maybe be the main backup and what he's seen from him, which is totally respectful. And would they go down the road of a free agent? And had a respectful call, and we're allowed to disagree. And then I had L-Dog tweet at me. L-Dog, thanks for tweeting at me, who says that I've seen a bit shorter and jerkier with callers lately. And I don't know what that means exactly, but hey, sorry you feel that way. We're allowed to debate or disagree, but we had a good call. It was very cordial and respectful. I couldn't hear the caller though for a little while. My headphones, for some reason, he was talking and I apologized for talking over him. So sorry you feel that way, L-Dog. Also, I am working on like 3 hours sleep from the plane ride. It's okay. Not an excuse. So if you feel that way, my apologies, but not at all. I hope you don't. Try to give everybody a space and time here to say what they want to say, but we don't have to agree all the time. It's just the way it goes. Marvin called in earlier. We had a lot of fun. He wanted to be negative Nancy today calling up. And I said, what are you doing, man? Have some fun, right? Your team won. We laughed about it. So sorry you feel that way, but thanks for the call, L-Dog. That's getting connected with our fans. Thanks for the tweet, I should say. You can tweet me at Sal Sports. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Mike in Lockport. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, I totally disagree with L-Dog. You're always respectful, and you're always on top of your game.
That's right. L-Dog's still my dog. It's all good.
Okay, well, that's good. Anyway, I wanted to comment on the value of, number one, injury time, and number two, when the game is out of hand in the early third quarter, still got the rest of the game to go. There is so much value in live reps against rostered players on the opposition, and it's good for, like, the offensive line when to get a running game tweaked. You're not going to be able to mimic that in practice when you're going FUD and everything. The end of the game, I'm watching secondary, and I'm 24. Oh, yeah, Cole Bishop. He's out there. I don't know how well he did or anything, but he's out there getting live reps. And, it's a little tempered by the Tua thing. It's got brings me memories of Hamlin and everything. But still, to have the bye, the extended bye, or the mini bye after that, those reps at our bottom of our roster got yesterday, and, Bale Inspector, at the time he had called in the defense, I thought he did great. It was seamless, and I just want to comment for the second game of the year. I think we got some really good live football for our roster, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's really good. Those are hidden snaps and hidden reps, right, Mike, that they add up, right? If you can leave a game 31-10, and in the fourth quarter you're giving your reserves time, number one, it takes, obviously off of your starters to play, but you're raising a great point. I mean, Cole Bishop hadn't played a snap in the NFL until last night. He doesn't play those snaps if they're not blowing him out in the fourth quarter. Those snaps mean something for him to get those reps, which is, I'll give you another one, Mike. How about this? Did you notice Jamarcus Ingram was playing the nickel corner last night late in the game? So Jamarcus Ingram, who comes in to play dime safety, is normally a boundary corner. He now gets reps at nickel corner because he's now the backup there to Cam Lewis.
Yeah, and Von Miller gets to sit down and do some maintenance. Yep. And, here we go.
You got it, Mike. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Really appreciate it. Good call to bring up. Good thought. Pat in Niagara Falls. Hi, Pat. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Sal, you sound so fresh, man. You really do.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Got in about 5 hours ago, I think.
Have you even been to bed yet? Jeez.
A little bit. I tried to sleep on the plane. Can you sleep on a plane, Pat? Can you sleep on a plane?
I got a gift given to me from my grandfather. God rest his soul. I could pass out anywhere at any time.
Oh my gosh! Wow, I was able to doze off a little bit, but I'm after a game. I have so much adrenaline pumping. It's harder for me. So, you know what I mean? So no matter what, and I'm writing my article, I'm scrambling to get it posted, arrow up, arrow down. We're on the bus going to the airport. And I'm like, I got to get it before we get on the plane. Got to get it. And I'm going hard. And then I get on the plane. I'm like, all right, now I can't even sleep. So there you go.
Yeah. The adrenaline after that beat down, it'll take probably till Sunday to come down. But just want to ask a couple quick questions or a couple questions real quick. So yeah. I hate to put a damper on everything. We know Bills are not going undefeated. It's how they're going to – I want to see how this team's going to rebound after a loss. Mm-hmm. You know, they poured their heart and soul in the game last year against Miami when they blew them out, and they stumbled a lot. And it's I think the key thing is how they're going to rebound from a loss, and you know, hopefully Bernard's injury is not as bad as it sounds. And secondly, during the game, I know you couldn't hear it last night, but Kurt Herbstreit made a good point about why is Tyreek Hill on the bench so much in the second half. He brought up in the fourth quarter basically saying I know they're getting blown out. It's not good. But he should be out there taking reps or even trying to just get this team back in it or show a little bit of motivation towards the others. I'd love to hear your take on something like that.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, rebound after a loss. I think Sean McDermott's been very good in his career about this. If you go back to last year, they were very uneven and they were going win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. But every time they lost, they lose to Jacksonville, beat the Giants. They lose to the Patriots, beat the Buccaneers. They did have two in a row after that. And then they lost to the Eagles and then went on a big run. Throughout Sean McDermott's tenure, they've always rebounded well after a loss. This is a new team, though. So, you know, we'll see. Let's hope that loss doesn't come for a while, but it's going to happen and we'll see. As far as Tyreek, one thing I noticed, too, you say the Herbstreit comment. I didn't notice that, Pat, and I didn't hear it, obviously. What I did see, though, when I mentioned this on the broadcast, on our broadcast last night, was right was it the sequence when Tua got hurt? I think it was that sequence. Right after that, Tyreek on first down and second down, Skylar Thompson comes in, and on first down and second down, both plays, Tyreek Hill at the end of the play kind of did like a squat type thing, and he hit both of his thigh pads with his fists, like in frustration, and you could see that happening. And I think that like just the overall kind of suffocation the Bills have had of Tyreek Hill, and then what happened with Tua, I'm sure was a little bit frustrating, but it just seemed like it was mental even more than physical, maybe than you know with his situation.
Yeah, and I think the more I remember of what Herbstreit said is he shouldn't be sitting down on the bench, him and Waddle both. They should be up encouraging the others at least or being a team leader is I think more of what he's gearing towards.
Yeah, I get it, and I understand that, Pat. Thanks for the call. And the other thing is, I'll tell you, if you remember early on in the game, they go deep to Tyreek Hill, right? Christian Benford, a really nice pass breakup. Because it's a deep throw and he runs down the field, he leaves the field. You know who else left the field? Jalen Waddle. They go to that key third down. The Dolphins have a big third down and long earlier in the game. Neither guy's on the field. I mean, like, yeah, that's just something. And I get it. Circumstance. They're running routes. They're running down the field, whatever. But, it just seemed, you know what it seemed to me early in the game? I'll say it this way. The Dolphins almost understood that the Bills were taking away Tyreek Hill, so they had to figure out ways to get him more involved. And that's why you saw some of those pitches. He had, like, nothing. On arrow up, arrow down, if you go to WGR550.com, check it out. I gave an arrow up to the Bills in the way they defended Hill and Waddle. Tyreek Hill, 6 targets, 3 catches for 24 yards. Waddle, 4 catches for 41 yards. Combined, 7 catches for 65 yards. The Miami Dolphins' longest play of the day yesterday was a 21-yard pass, an immediate tackle, from Tua to Jalen Waddle, their longest play, they had one play over 20 yards. That was a 21-yard pass that had no run after catch. I mean, more on the day that, you know, the Bills had on defense. But how about also on the offensive side for Sean McDermott? A very underrated moment in this game. It was the very first drive. McDermott elects to go for it on 4th and 3 from the Dolphins' 17-yard line. 17-yard line, 4th and 3. If you remember, the play before that was a 3rd and 2. The Bills lost a yard with a Ty Johnson run. They go to 4th and 3. McDermott calls timeout. From there, I'm thinking, okay, they might just reevaluate and go to a kick here because they didn't like the defense. Just get some points. And I'm thinking, you know what happens in those moments? I'm thinking, what are the fans saying? I'm not on Twitter. I'm not online. I can't. I'm watching the game, doing my job. And I'm thinking, are the fans, there's going to be a segment of fans going, I love this, right? There's going to be another segment going, oh my God, you just had a free point. Just take the points. You just got the ball for free. Just had the interception. And I'm thinking, what are the fans dealing with and talking about? Well, it turned out great. Whether you like the decision or not, it was a great decision in the end because Joe Brady comes up with a great play call and design, and you obviously know they were saving that for that right moment. You only get like one chance to run a play like that, and they hit James Cook, Josh does, for a 17-yard touchdown. 4th and 3, 17 yards, 17-yard touchdown from the 17-yard line. Great play call, great aggressiveness by Sean McDermott. Really underscored what he thought about how they had to go about attacking that game. On his weekly radio program with me here a couple days ago on Wednesday, if you listen to that, I thought it was very telling and interesting. He kind of tipped his hand. McDermott said in that radio interview on Wednesday, he said, when you play the Dolphins, it's not about yards, it's about points. And I thought, does that mean he's going to go for it and be aggressive a couple of times? And he was there. Carl in Connecticut. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Yep. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, buddy.
Good. Hey, unbelievable. Yards after catch. Shakir Kincaid. There was one that Kincaid caught on the side. He did a spin, and he got that extra 3 or 4 yards. I mean, at the end of the day, those little things all add up. So my hat's off to them. The defense, my God, the way they swarm, it's like, let them catch the short stuff, but very few missed tackles compared to the Dolphins game. And then there was that one pass where Allen was rolling out right. Typical. Waits the last minute, a foot before the sideline. He drills it to who is the running back? I don't know who he is. He caught the ball and got to the 1, which was insane. And then one shout-out to my man Sal. I don't know if you remember me, but we came. I took a picture of you with the banner with my nephew on it, with my sister. Awesome experience. I appreciate you. And by the way, when we were tailgating in that Miami game, or not the Miami, the Cardinals game, they're doing a documentary on the Bills Mafia, and it might be on Netflix next year. And I had the opportunity to get interviewed for that with that banner in the background. So kudos
yeah.
to you, Sal. Appreciate you. I listen to you often, and I'll listen. Can I stay on and listen? Because, again, I'm on a delay.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, it's listen, I mean,
By the way,
you know,
I'm wearing the hat yeah. you autographed. And everybody asks me whose name is it. And, of course, they say Sal. And if you don't know, I'm going WGR. So go ahead, Sal. Sorry.
And that's okay. And I know on the banner that I saw you with, that was there was a picture of someone who had passed away, right, with Poncho as well. And there was some other people on
Dominic.
There.
My nephew, Dominic. Yeah.
Your nephew. Yeah, your nephew, Dominic. Thank yeah. you for reminding me. I do remember the picture. I remember you stopping by. I appreciate that. Much love for that and for you asking and for coming by. But, Carl, my honor. I appreciate it. It was really great. Thank you for doing that. Very cool. Look, this offense, I think it was Shakir, right? Going back to your point with Shakir, right?
Shakir
on the offense. I mean, this guy's just consistent, right? He just catches everything thrown his way. I do get a little concerned about, like, in big moments, like where the main, you know, guy is going to be. If it's Shakir, it's Kincaid, that's fine. But do they mm-hmm. have enough of that? Because mm-hmm. Keon Coleman had no targets yesterday, and Matt Collins mm-hmm. had no catches yesterday, and Curtis Samuel's still limited. So I wonder when a team takes away a little bit of that. How about this? If a team says, we're just going to stop your run, how about that even? If a team says, you're not going to run on us, what do the Bills have at wide receiver to be able to exploit that. Like, that's my concern when I see maybe going forward with some other games, right? And we'll find out on
that.
But
they did what works, and maybe they'll change it up when it stops working. And Cook with that long run was insane. So, again, I appreciate you. I'll let you go, and thanks for everything.
You got it, Carl. Yeah, you got it. No, thank you. Thank you. I do remember, and I appreciate you a lot, man. Appreciate that, too. Nico in Buffalo. Hold on, Nico. There you go, buddy. You're on, bud.
Hey, what's going on, Sal?
How are you, man?
Just curious. Watching the game last night, it just seems like these newer players, like we had a huge roster turnover, and everyone was curious how that was going to look. And it just seems like these young players, whether it be like the offensive line, the defensive backfield, our receiving core, they just seem like they're stepping up, and it's almost like a seamless transition to where, like, we almost look better than we did last year. I'm curious if you think it's more so because of the system that they're coming into, if it's because just college players are coming out more ready to go than ever, or if, like, Bean is just, like, a mastermind when it comes to drafting. It just seems like they know exactly what to do. They know exactly where they have to be, and it's working out, you know, better than I think. I mean, it's week two, but better than anyone thought it would. So I'll just hang up and listen to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure, Nico. Listen, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked this. Yeah, I do have a thought on this. Like, what is the reason? Like, how are they able to kind of have this next man up, successful mentality, execution? I think that, to me, yes, I think player development is great. It really is, right? I think the coaching is really good. But you know what? You don't have any of that without the consistency of the organization. How many times, folks, did we go through coaches or GMs here in Buffalo over 20 years? And what happens is when you change a GM, the new GM has a different thought on what the roster should look like. When you change a coach, he has a different thought on the roster and the philosophy of the team. I've said this many times. Most organizations, not all of them, of course, there are some that are really good. Kansas City, of course, has won Super Bowls, right? But most organizations in this league dream of and envy what the Buffalo Bills have in their consistency and model between ownership, front office, and coach. It allows them to see the long-term picture of drafting for what you need, not this year, but next year and the year after. It allows them to understand the players they want to develop into their system. That's what does it. If you're changing coaches or GMs every couple years, a guy like Jamarcus Ingram doesn't develop after 2 years on the practice squad to come and do what he does yesterday because he's got a whole new system he's got to learn. He's probably not even on the team anymore. That's the answer to me, Nico. The answer to why this is so successful here like this is because you don't normally see it in the league. And it's a front office and a staff working with a short-term and long-term vision in mind of what they want to be and how they want to develop each player. And because you're winning and you keep your coach and you keep your GM, they can keep doing that. That's the answer to me of what you're saying. All right. Josh Allen, after the game. Josh did wear the glove on his left hand yesterday. And he did have the one snap that he fumbled. I think otherwise it was a pretty good go of it for Josh Allen, but not great stats necessarily, right? I mean, it was 13 of 19. That's really good. Not overwhelming stats like normal against the Miami Dolphins, but he didn't need to be overwhelming. And he was asked about all of that and spoke about it at the podium following the victory last night.
James Cook with three touchdowns all in the first half. How cool was that?
Awesome. Hat trick. He's been working hard. You know, each year he's gotten better. Seems like each week he's getting more comfortable and confident. You know, he's been begging for some goal line runs, and we gave it to him, and he got his touchdown down there, the long one. And then he found a way on that the first touchdown in the first quarter there. So can't be more happier for him and more proud of him. And, you know, he just continues to make plays for us.
How's the hand?
It's good. Feels great. Yeah. Yeah.
Through that pass to Ty Johnson on the before the James Cook 1 yard run, like what happened on that play?
Yeah, I mean, motioned him out there. We motioned Khalil across. You know, was feeling some sort of zone. Progressed it right to left. Had a little bit of just movement. Rolled out right. I saw the deep safety kind of, you know, jump something underneath. I saw Ty one on one with a backer. Felt like he kind of slipped inside. I just gave him a catchable ball, and he went up and made a play.
James Cook touchdown catch on that fourth down. Is there patience required to let him get out the flat?
Yeah, he's just got to, he has to find a way there. We had a lot of trust in him there. You know, I messed up the call, you know, before the timeout. Fortunately, called the same play and they changed the defense to really the defense that we were hoping to get. So it worked out, but can't be taking timeouts on the first drive. But they went zero. You know, I just gave a little eyes right just to hold some people and knowing that I got the safety off the edge. You know, he's untouched and just got to trust Jimbo to go get open there, and he did and made a play.
You went to Dalton two of the first three plays. Was that by design or just where the ball went?
Just kind of where the ball went. Different options on different pass plays, and obviously want to continue to get him the ball more and get him involved, especially early in the game, you know, and force defenses to really key in on him. So just kind of how it happened.
You heard on the bench tonight, thrown into the bench. Is that just the way it worked out?
Yeah, hands are okay, though. It didn't fall on the hands. Yeah, it just comes up quick sometimes on the sideline when you throw it 1 inch off from the sideline. So, yeah, head on a swivel over there.
Josh, what's it like, unfortunately, to see Tua go down like that, another quarterback, and in that way?
Yeah, very sad. That's, you know, the worst part of the game. You know, nothing but love and prayers sending to him and his family, and hopefully everyone's sending those because he's going to need them. And, yeah, it's the worst part of the game.
Josh, what can you say about the defense for this team? I mean, they're going through it on that side of the ball with some significant injuries, but to hold that offense to 10 points.
Unbelievable job. And lose TB in the first quarter. Baylen comes in. He's the green dot. Makes some plays. J-Mark comes in, makes some plays. You know, you look at the stat sheet. I don't know what our numbers were, but I know we were really low in time of possession, and we were probably really low in total yards, but still managed to put up 31 points. And that means your defense is doing something right. So they had our back tonight, and we're going to need them going forward. And I'm just very proud of how guys stepped up into their roles. And they played together. You know, when you play together like that, you're typically going to have good results.
Josh, going off of that, what does it say about this team on a short week to come out and have that kind of complete performance on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, don't blink mentality. Just drop the football. Let's play. Got a lot of faith in the guys that we have in this room. You know, I think it starts with our pass rush. You know, Von Miller had some. He looked like Von Miller tonight. You know, that's what I told him. I mean, he had one spin move. He didn't get there, but one spin move, that was pretty scary. You know, and Greg Rousseau out there again making plays. Ed Oliver, you name it. You know, those guys are straining each and every play, and they're working together right now, and we're holding up at the back end. So it's good to see.
Two wins in 5 days with a lot of unknowns a week ago at this time. What have you discovered about this offense?
Well, it's still early, but I'm very proud of the guys, how they're handling it. You know, that the everybody eats approach. We're just trying to find the open guy and get everybody involved. But guys are stepping up to the plate, and they're making plays when their numbers are called. So got to keep working. And, again, tonight's a weird one because you get the ball so close to your end zone, three different possessions. You know, it was a fourth down stop. There was two turnovers. We got it over there. So, again, it's not going to be eye-popping numbers on the stat sheet, but when you can put up those type of numbers on the scoreboard, that's all you care about. But, again, as time goes on, there's going to be more opportunity for our guys to go make some plays.
Josh, what can you say about the fans walking off the field with your arms up? That's got to be pretty cool to do that not at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun one to play at. Our fans travel very well. They travel very well here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We feed off the energy that they give us, so thank you, Bills Mafia.
Was there a fan that you told that you had to leave?
Nah.
Did you like a player at all?
Pre-game, I talked to him a little bit. You know, he's love that guy.
The last question was about Jordan Poyer, by the way. They asked if Jordan Poyer, you know, if Josh had talked to Jordan, he said, I saw him pregame. Was there a fan he asked to leave or something? I don't know what happened there. There was a lot of banter going on between the fans and the Bills bench towards the end of the game when the game was in hand. Bills were kneeling it out. It was great to see. Always is. It's a great scene in Miami when the fans come down, or any road game. Bills fans come down right by the wall, and you know they're interacting with their team and, you know, having a good time. So really great game last night, and really honestly just the weekend now, right? Kick your feet up, enjoy it. Good weather, I think it's going to be all weekend. Watch other teams go at it. Enjoy your Sunday, and then it's another week, 2 weekends in a row you get to do this, by the way. Actually, yeah, 2 weekends in a row you get to do this, which is kick your feet up and watch other teams play. The difference is this weekend the Bills have already played. They're 2-0. And next weekend after that, they're going to play later, which is a Monday night. And actually 3 weekends in a row, if you think about it, because there's a Sunday night game against the Ravens. So yeah, lots of night games still coming up here. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is a Buffalo Victory Football Friday. And it's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your day the Crosby's way. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we'll take more of your phone calls. And I guess just get into, like I said, we're going to do some stats and stuff. But hey, whatever you want to talk about. If you want to give a call, 803-0550. That takes us to this break, and we will be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Thompson back to pass, and he's sacked! Von Miller beat the right tackle badly and got right in on Thompson for a turnover on downs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to pass. Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat. Racing to the end zone. And is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen on a 17-yard touchdown reception.
Once again, Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills radio network on the call there. All right, we have a few minutes if you want to jump on board, but I want to do a few other things here before we do that. We can get to some calls. We have some lined up, but actually let's get to those calls and then we'll kind of run through yesterday a little bit. We'll look ahead to this weekend as well. Tom in North Tonawanda, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Sal, you know me. This is a glorious day, and last night was...
I don't want to talk to you. I'm already out of your Survivor League, okay? I'm out. I got with the death pool. I got eliminated right away. So, you know, I'm taking it out on you, pal.
Well, you can take it out on me, but, you know, I did the same thing you did last week. So, you know, we can sit here in misery, and you don't have to keep track of it for the rest of the year. I still do. So.
No, that's right. Now, listen, here's the other thing, Tom. Tom's been calling a long time, and it's great. We've hooked up, and we've become friends, and Tom runs a death pool. And in your death pool, I took Cincinnati or New England last week, and I lost. Now, I did the same thing in Paul Hamilton's, but he allows a buyback, so bought back in. So I'm still alive for week number two. So that's the good news.
Well, good luck. I hope you took Miami in that one. But, hey, just a few things here. First, I'm going to start with something I didn't bring up. Is it's great to see Von Miller having that first step back, and at his age, after two ACL injuries, to be able to get off the ball that quickly just amazes me. But, you know, you've touched on it some. The way the Bills developed some of these guys, these Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram and players that were on the practice squad for a few years, and I don't know how many teams are able to do this, but they've got so many players on their roster. I mean, you can also throw in Anderson, Vandermark, Quint Morris. These are all guys that spent a year or more on a practice squad, and they're out there and they're playing, and now some of them are starting to really make big contributions. And the coaching staff, the scouting staff for finding these gems that are just sitting out there and weren't drafted and sitting around, that somebody really deserves a lot of credit there. And those are the types of guys, they might not by themselves win them a championship, but it's the type of depth and ability you need to be able to plug those guys in that'll really, really helps a team, can take them a long way. And I just sit back and look, and I, you know, that's something I don't think they get enough credit for.
You've been watching this team a long time, Tom. I know we're about the same age, and, you know, I just said to a caller earlier, you know, it's the perfect kind of system that keeps giving, because you have a GM and a head coach that are good at their jobs, but also in alignment, and you can continue to draft for the future as well as the present. And that helps, because when you go through all the different cycles of head coaches and GMs, you don't have that, because everybody's drafting and now you're changing the roster for different things. And that's why the Bills were basically like cap hell when Brandon Bean took over, because they have to change everything from what Rex Ryan did. When Rex Ryan took over from Doug Marrone, they have to change everything. But Doug Marrone takes over Chan Gailey, they have to change everything. The list goes on and on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've got it in. They've got a system in, and they've got the support underneath them too. And it just, right now it's really producing well, and just love seeing an old player like Jamarcus Ingram get his moment. last night, and you know, even get interviewed on an Amazon Prime after the game. For a guy like that, you just love to see it, and you know their patience with him. Time on the practice squad, coming along slowly, getting a call up here and there, and now he's out there on national TV producing, and it's great to see. And Cam Lewis, it's almost some, you know, Taron Johnson's great, but he's filled in, and he sure as heck ain't hurting them at all out there.
Yeah. You got it, buddy. Good to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks. Good to talk to you.
All right, you got it. Speaking of Jamarcus Ingram, Josh wants to chime in on him. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
I just want to say it was very, very electrifying yesterday watching Jamarcus Ingram play, man. I'm happy that the Bills are finally looking into local products and taking local products and using them, you know. It's just, it was awesome watching him play yesterday. But anyways, I'll hang up and listen, man, and go Bills.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I mean, we get this a lot, right, which is, why do the Bills look at more of local guys, or there's more gems under there? Well, actually, there is a correlation here of why this is happening. And, excuse me. And Brandon Bean, actually, we talked about this. He said, you know, you have to think about the fact that the Bills, their local pro day, right? Josh, when they have a local pro day, right? So Josh, you were just calling from North Carolina. So let's say you're around Chapel Hill. You know, North Carolina, you're aware the Panthers are, right? The Panthers, I'm guessing, they get Duke and they get North Carolina. They get all these schools that they can have at their pro day that they can bring to their facility, or this extra look at them. That's what the Bills have here at UB. The Bills got a chance to look at Jamarcus Ingram, a look at Cam Lewis, a look at Joe Andreessen, because that's their local school. They also have Pitt. That's why the Bills have had success with Pitt. It's an extra day when you have the local school. Each team has local schools. There's some definitions what local is, right? How far they are away, and local people if they live locally. So there actually is a correlation there, but it's not new or unique necessarily. It's just been happening at a higher level, I think, right now. But you know, you also shouldn't just draft people or sign people because they're local. You shouldn't do that. That's bad business. That's how you operate if you're into it for PR or business, and that's not a good thing. The Bills are trying to win football games. But, yes, there is a correlation there, just so you know, and that's how it works. Mike in Hamburg, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, here's my situation. I'm happy the Bills won, of course. I'm a big-time Bills Mafia fan. However, I am very disappointed at a lot of the Bills fans trolling the Internet, saying such damaging and bad things about what happened to Tua yesterday. Tua is a human being, like we all are. And he may have just lost his career. All the work that he's put in over his lifetime to be a professional athlete and to be a high-talented player. And I've watched some things on Facebook that are disgusting. And
wow, Mike, I think you can go on Facebook and see a lot of things that are disgusting. Or social, any social, Twitter. And I agree with you. Like, I see it. I see things. And these are, sometimes it's people I know and respect. I'm like, whoa, come on. Like, what, right? Like, for anything in life, I'm saying, it doesn't have to be this particular situation. And people, unfortunately, have fun with or make fun of a lot of things that I don't particularly think are funny and are serious. And
that's,
I agree with you.
That's right.
What happens
to them or their family?
No, I know, but Mike, but what I'll also say is though, there are many, 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 many more people who are showing compassion and trying to donate to his charity.
Of course.
To me, and you know, you can't, as you know, you and I, we can't, you can't tell anybody how to act or live, or you can't, you know, force. But what we can do, I think, is to try at least focus more on the positive and see the good that people are trying to do or care about or have that compassion for. And that's where I try to lean, because we know that the other side exists.
Let me say one thing more.
Yeah.
What we need to do in this society is the parents need to step up and teach their kids. They're not doing it.
Okay.
And the kids that are coming up, this is the problem. I'm sorry, it's the problem.
Well, Mike, we're going down a different road here than everything, but I appreciate it and respect what you're saying about the Tua situation, but I think we're going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here if you don't mind, all right? So I'm going to move on and say I agree with your take though about, you know, seeing those whatever memes or jokes, and you know, people are doing that. I mean, come on. It's disgusting, and of course, right? But it's the far more majority is people who are showing compassion and caring, you know, for what happened last night. And, you know, of course, Bills Mafia, there's people trying to, you know, donate to his charity and doing something like that, which we've seen in the past as well. But, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. And as we know, in a lot of things in life, it's not just that. And by the way, when you say Bills fans doing it, I also want to bring up the point. I see a lot of people. It's not just Bills fans. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, I try to be more on the other side of things, which I look at and focus on the positive, and some people think I'm too Pollyanna like that sometimes. I've been accused of that. It's why people call up. It's so funny. Like, you know, you get your person tweeting me today that I was being rude or jerky to callers or whatever, and I don't really understand. We're just having a discussion. For the most part, it's usually the opposite, which is such a homer and protect the team and, you know, love Sean McDermott too much and those kinds of things. I will admit, though, that the my nature, like what I think is one of my better qualities in life, can also be something that hurts me in life, which is I can be a little too optimistic and positive. And I know, and you guys, a lot of people look at things with a critical lens and are very right to do so. And sometimes I'm quick to point out the more positive, but that's just the way I'm natural and live in my life. So it happens and it comes out like that, maybe on the radio. But, you know, I think that you have to have that balance of everybody. And that's what makes this whole thing go around. Not to get too philosophical. Let's take a timeout. We will do that here. We will come back. We'll wrap up with a look at the weekend NFL schedule. Good call, Mike. I appreciate you calling. I really do about that. And yeah, I mean, you know, it was a serious situation. It is. And, you know, hopefully we'll get more, you know, positive news on Tua, but we'll see where it goes with him. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Looking over the middle, pressure coming, has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night.
All right, here we go. I told you earlier, it's always nice to just sit back, kick up the feet, watch other games while your team is 2-0 and sitting in the catbird seat, right? I think that's the right term, the catbird seat, 2-0. First place, AFC East in the penthouse. Sunday, 1 p.m. Keep that music going, brother. We're going to talk some football here. Let's go. Bring some NFL music up. Let's go. Raiders at Ravens at 1 p.m. I mean, come on, Ravens should take care of business, right? They've had plenty of time to prepare, and the Raiders just not look like they're going to be a good team this year. Team they lost to last week is the L.A. Chargers. They go on the road to take on the Carolina Panthers. Pretty sure the Chargers should be going 2-0 here in Carolina. Could be a very long season again in Carolina after what we saw last week. They got blown out by the New Orleans Saints, who do travel to the Dallas Cowboys. This is a fun, interesting NFC game early on. Saints put up, 40-plus points last week, whatever that was. And they, I don't know, are they going to do that against Dallas? Or is it just because Carolina's bad? Well, we'll see. Dallas, interesting. Nice game last week in Cleveland. Good NFC game in Dallas here in week two. 1 o'clock start, Saints at Cowboys. The Buccaneers visit the Lions, a battle of two 1-0 teams. Buccaneers looked very good. I gave them my sit-up last week. Lions, we know, are a good team. Won in overtime against the Rams. Should be a very interesting matchup. These two teams seem like they play every year. They used to play every year in the same division. They're not in the same division anymore, but it still seems like they play every year. Buccaneers at Lions, 1 p.m. All right, the Colts are at the Packers. Did I see, Josh, did I see that Jordan Love could actually play this week? Was that something I heard? Did I not hear that right?
He hasn't been ruled out, so I would assume, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
I doubt it, though, man. I mean, yeah. you got to practice all week. I don't know. I'm expecting Malik Willis. I picked up the Colts defense in fantasy because if it's Malik Willis, I just think that the Packers are just going to keep everything close to the vest, not risk much, and I like the Colts defense in that matchup. Boy, if it's Jordan Love, that'd be amazing after that injury he suffered on that opening weekend. Colts at Packers. Both teams 0-1 looking for their first win. Browns are at the Jags. Man, two teams reeling for two different reasons. Number one, the Jags blowing a big lead last week against the Dolphins. You know, that was they were up not only 17-3, but walking into the end zone for a 24-3 lead, punched out from Travis Etienne. The Dolphins come back to win it, and they just did not take care of business. Bills play the Jags in a week from Monday night. And then the Browns, of course, what is going on with their offense and Deshaun Watson? I shouldn't even put it that way. I think we all know what's going on. They kind of stink with Deshaun Watson under center. And their fans are letting everybody hear it and know about it. And it is just not good right now in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. And it's not good being 0-1 and traveling to Jacksonville, another 0-1 team who needs a win. 49ers at Vikings. How about the Vikings? Nice win to start the season, but it was the Giants. Niners, Christian McCaffrey, we'll see about. Hopefully you got Jordan Mason picked up in your fantasy league. Niners look really good last night against the Jets. 1-0 against 1-0. San Fran at Minnesota. Seattle goes across the country to play the New England Patriots. All right, we'll see a little bit more about the Patriots. Nice win for them last week at the Bengals. Can they roll it in again to roll it over to another win? Seahawks, I'm not as high on them this year. They had a decent win last week, but I think Denver kind of let them off the hook a little bit here and there. I wouldn't doubt the Patriots could win this game. But I do think the Seahawks, I don't know. Maybe the Patriots do win. Maybe I'm buying into a little bit of what they did last week, but it's really more about the Bengals than it was the Patriots last week. So we'll see if the Patriots can keep. How about this? Can the Patriots keep pace with the Buffalo Bills in the division and both be 2-0? Jets did not look good last week on Monday night. D-line got pushed around after the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers looked immobile and older. That's what he is, right? Now they go to the Titans, though, an opportunity here against a Will Levis team that Will Levis, if he makes those mistakes against the Jets, it's lights out against that defense. Sorry. Jets have a great chance to kind of rebound here, but they got to be careful in this situation. Jets could fall to 0-2 if they don't step up their defensive performance from that second half of last week's game against the Niners. Giants are at the Commanders, two 0-1 teams in the NFC East. Jaden Daniels, not too bad in his debut, made some nice plays. Giants, they just do not look like they're going to get off the mat. Now Malik Nabers, offensively, now Malik Nabers is dealing with an injury. Injury popped up yesterday at practice for Malik Nabers. Rams are at the Cardinals. Cardinals, you know, have a chance. They're both 0-1. Rams overtime. Cardinals lose in Buffalo. Steelers at the Broncos. We'll run through the last few here because we got about a minute left. Steelers at the Broncos. We'll see if the Steelers can keep it going after six field goals gets them the win last week. Bengals at Chiefs. That's your 425 game. I don't expect much from the Bengals right now. I just think Joe Burrow, this could be something, unfortunately, that compromises like his career, the way it looks with his wrist. But the Chiefs have plenty of time to prepare. Bengals didn't look good last week on offense. Bengals at Chiefs. Jamar Chase situation not settled. T. Higgins could be out again. So, yeah. Bears at Texans. That's your Sunday night game. Chance to see Caleb Williams go against C.J. Stroud. Monday night, Falcons at Eagles. Thanks a lot for hanging with me today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Victory Football Friday. What do we got now? Is it Sabres Live or One Bills Live? What are we doing next? Are we doing 3 hours or is it Sabres Live? All right. It is One Bills Live. All right. 3 hours of One Bills Live coming up after this. You're going to get that for 3 hours. Show up in the Bulldog. It's a Buffalo Football Friday. We're going to recap and keep it rolling on the Bills' big 31-10 win over the Miami Dolphins yesterday to start the season 2-0.